the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. Jumping right on into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about ways of improving drought resiliency of California's rangeland with non-traditional approaches. Also in today's show, a higher skilled labor pool will be key to keeping U.S. ag competitive. Before we hear those reports, I'm starting off today's program with groups that are highlighting the benefits of biofuels for our state's carbon neutral future. Let's jump right in. A group of ag and biofuel organizations and companies submitted comments last week to the California Air Resource Board. They highlighted the role renewable fuels can play in the state's plan. They say fuels like ethanol can help California get to its goal of reaching a carbon neutrality by 2045 or sooner. The board is in the process of updating its scoping plan that lays out the path toward achieving the state's carbon reduction targets. The comments were signed by the leadership of groups like Growth Energy, the Renewable Fuels Association, and the National Corn Growers Association, POET, and many more. After reminding the board that ethanol has already cut more than 26 million metric tons of carbon in California, the group recommended that the board expedite the approval of E15 as a legal fuel in the state. This action alone could immediately increase the reduction of greenhouse gases by 50%. The second recommendation was that the state considers requiring internal combustion engine light-duty vehicles sold in California be flex fuel vehicles beginning in the model year of 2024. Finally, they urged the board to extend the Low Carbon Fuel Standard Program beyond 2030. NAFB contributed to that report, and now let's take a listen to these back-to-back reports with AgNet West's Brian German.
A multi-year project will be looking at ways to mitigate drought impacts on rangelands. Associate Professor of Ecology in the Department of Plant Sciences at UC Davis, Jennifer Funk, said they're taking a unique approach to learning more about drought tolerance of rangeland.
The project is primarily focused on when you're essentially restoring a rangeland, maybe from scratch or one that's been kind of damaged or destroyed by invasive species or something like that. So how do you create a rangeland that's going to be resilient to drought? And that might mean taking populations of some species that we know we want to include, maybe from Southern California, where those genotypes of those plants down there have been exposed to hotter, drier conditions. And we take those and we bring them up to Northern California, for example. So that might be one strategy to try to increase the drought tolerance of the plants in Northern California rangelands. Or it might be actually thinking a little bit more, you know, outside the box and including some species that historically haven't been a part of rangelands and saying, you know, well, these species are really drought tolerant, livestock tolerate them, you know, or maybe they add fertility to the soil, but they're also drought tolerant. And you know, so they have some other ecological benefit in a rangeland system. Maybe we should actually be thinking a little bit more outside the box and including different species than we've historically had in rangelands.
With the necessary advances being made to ag technologies, it will be critical to continue advancing the skills of the ag workforce. President and CEO of Western Growers, Dave Puglia, said that collaborations will be key to ensuring a quality workforce is available in the near future to keep U.S. production competitive.
We have to assume that our competitors around the globe are doing exactly what we're trying to do right now. They're also trying to automate as fast as they can. They're trying to train their workforce to be able to accommodate that change in the way the industry operates. And they're trying to do it more quickly than we can because they want to get market share. So we have to be not just driven by the reality that we have a challenge on our own soil, finding enough workers, finding the right workers for the technology that's coming into the ag industry in California. We also have to have our head on a swivel and look around the world and realize that if we don't collaborate, if we don't work across kind of non-traditional relationships to get this right and get it done fast, someone else will, and we could lose market share. There's no better place for agriculture than California, especially in the produce industry and in dairy. And that's something I think that can be dangerous because it makes us sometimes maybe take for granted that we're going to hold that number one position. So this is about keeping that focus on and being able to ensure that we aren't beaten by our global competition.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, a new food freezing concept to better foods and save energy. A new study produced in partnership with the United States Department of Agriculture's Agriculture Research Service and UC Berkeley is taking a look at freezing methods of foods. The data shows shifting to new freezing methods called isochoric freezing could increase the quality of food all while saving energy and reducing carbon emissions. ASR Research food technologist Christina Bilbao-Sain says, quote, a complete change over to this new method of food freezing worldwide could cut energy use by as much as 6.5 billion kilowatt hours each year, reducing the carbon emissions that go along with generating that power by 4.6 billion kg, which is the equivalent of removing roughly 1 million cars from roads. The method works by storing food in a sealed, rigid plastic or metal container, filling it with liquid, and unlike conventional freezing, isochoric freezing preserves the food without turning it into a solid ice. In addition to protecting it from ice crystallization, which is a threat to the quality of the food, this method also kills microbial contaminants and allows for a higher quality of storage of fresh foods that are otherwise difficult to freeze. For example, like potatoes, tomatoes, and sweet cherries. The research was published in a Renewable and Sustainable Energy Review. Right now, it is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman, when we return. Don't forget, if you'd like to catch a recap of any of the reports mentioned in our show today, you can always head on over to our website, www.agnetwest.com, for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The domestic rail transportation network is vital to moving products and goods supplied by America's farmers and ranchers. Over 33 million carloads of U.S. goods moved up and down the 140,000-mile rail system, generating over $85 billion in total rail revenue in 2019. The Surface Transportation Board says farm products contributed nearly 7.4%, or $6.3 billion of the total rail revenue. An American Farm Bureau Market Intel report shows that over the last 5 years, the cost of shipping grain on railways has increased. Rail rates on corn, soybeans, and wheat, including fuel charges, have gone up 13%, 11%, and 7% respectively since 2016. Rates on ethanol transportation have increased 18% during the same period. Increasing fuel prices in the broader economy are influencing rising rates, but not as sharply as some might think. The Association of American Railroads 3-year fuel price index shows a modest increase in rail fuel prices, but that's primarily a recovery from COVID-19-related price drops linked to reduced consumption in early 2020. In the first half of 2021, the prices have all but returned to 2018 and 2019 levels. Ohio experienced the highest rate increase of 26% by origin, while North Carolina saw the highest increase of 22% based on shipping destinations. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, according to a new report from the White House, President Biden understands that families have been facing higher prices at the grocery store, and half of those recent increases are from meat prices, specifically beef, pork, and poultry. And while factors like increased consumer demand have played a role in the price increases, they are also driven by a lack of competition at key bottleneck point in the meat supply chain or meat processing. They note that just four large conglomerates control the majority of the market for each of these three products, and the data shows these companies have been raising prices while generating record profits during the pandemic. Thus, the administration is taking bold action to enforce the antitrust laws, boost competition in meat processing, and push back on pandemic profiteering that is hurting consumers, farmers, and ranchers across the country. Gary Crawford has more details.
Four or five major meat processing companies controlling up to 85% of the meat market, making record profits while consumers pay more and producers get less.
It raises a concern about pandemic profiteering.
Brian Deese directs the President's National Economic Council, just out with a report detailing the situation in the U.S. meat industry, Deese stopping short of using the phrase price gouging or of opining whether some practices are illegal, but in a White House press briefing, he did go as far as to say,
these price increases that are affecting consumers are not happening in isolation, and that companies are making decisions to drive these price increases.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told reporters on the situation, the administration will pursue actions toward two main goals.
Goal number one is to make sure that farmers get a fair return for their efforts and their capital investment. And the second goal is to make sure that when consumers go to the grocery store and at the checkout counter, they get fairer prices.
Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. And the report notes, with just four firms controlling approximately 55 to 85% of the market for these three products, it gives them power to squeeze both consumers and farmers and ranchers. And during the pandemic, wholesale prices for beef rose much faster than input prices for cattle, meaning prices the processors pay to ranchers are not increasing, but the prices collected by processors from retailers are going up. If you'd like to see more of this White House report, you can go to the White House website, whitehouse.gov. And with a scheduled vote in the U.S. House set for today, the National Pork Producers Council is calling on Congress to include in a budget reconciliation bill language to expand existing H-2A visa to year-round ag workers. Like many sectors in the economy, U.S. pork industry is faced with severe labor shortage. But even before COVID-19 pandemic, the industry was having trouble filling jobs, a situation generally attributable to urbanization and an aging rural population. MPPC is urging congressional lawmakers to open the current H-2A temporary and seasonal worker visa program to year-round labor without a limit on the annual number of visas and to provide legal status for ag workers already in the country. They note that legislation approved earlier this year by the House would expand the H-2A program to year-round workers, but it caps the number of visas that can be issued each year. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
A rural Texas medical clinic used USDA funding to construct a new facility which allowed for the expansion of services to customers and employees. USDA's Rod Bain has more with the Cactus Health Services CEO Luis Villarreal in this report.
Cactus Health Services in rural Texas was outgrowing its lease facility in a non-commercial area. What with service to
all patients in this two-county wide area, and then we also get patients from all the way up even from the city of Odessa, that's an hour and a half away, to come see our federally qualified health center.
And CEO Luis Villarreal says that prompted Cactus Health to apply for USDA Rural Development healthcare related grants.
When we came in here at the beginning of 2019, it was such a joy to walk into this clinic.
A constructed modular building with expanded exam, lab, and intake offices. That, in turn, led to expanded staff and staff training. Currently, RD is accepting applications for emergency rural health care grants through October 12th. More information is available through state rural development offices or online at www.rd.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And it's that time where we head out for our second break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Neal. Today we're taking a listen to the latest episode of the Vineyard Team's podcast, where Jenny Garley talks all about examining plant nutrition mobility.
Jenny, welcome to the show today. Excited to be back talking about analyses that can help us keep a better eye on our vines and our plants and make sure they're happy and healthy. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Jenny, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what ultimately led you up to this point and your involvement in leading this company?
I have a master's in food science and technology. I used to work on the other side where I would work with the product side of plants and products. I took a short break to have children, and I got back into it working with a company that brought this technology back to the United States. Sap analysis is actually quite old and was here many years ago and left, and then it was brought back from the Netherlands, and I started to work with NovaCrop, and I love this technology. There was so much to learn, and I just started to do a deep dive. That was about 7 years ago.
Okay, 7 years in. Excellent. I know that you're involved in a number of different industries, helping people in citrus and in all kinds of agricultural situations. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with the viticulture connection.
Well, I live in California. And we have a lot of grapes here. It was just that simple. It is in some areas, some of the main crops. I'm actually from the Sonoma area. My family is from there. I grew up there. So every summer visiting my grandmother in the grapes. It was an easy jump.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the company. Where are you based? And what we're excited to talk about, of course, is what do you do?
Okay. I'm based in California, but the laboratory, New Age Laboratories, is based in South Haven, Michigan, so on the East Coast. I cover West Coast territories up into Canada. I do talk to everybody in the U.S. I actually also talk to people in Europe and then also in Chile and Peru. So my California zip code doesn't hinder me from talking to other people.
Well, I bet it's been quite a year in terms of getting around. So tell us about a little bit about what you guys do, what you specialize in, and why our listeners should be interested in that technology.
We specialize in leaf sap analysis. Our lab did come from the roots of environmental, so cleanup, and we have edged out of that and now almost 100% in agriculture, but we are strictly licensed, very, very heavily licensing. So we still have our roots in that So in agriculture, we still hold all of our environmental licenses. So for plant sap analysis, not a lot of people know that it's out there. Like I said, it is older. It's been around, but in the U.S., it's been hit and miss. And now it's really, really starting to take off. And one of the biggest things that sets sap analysis apart is it is actually a set of tests. It's a pair. It's a young leaf, old leaf. And with that, you're able to look at nutrient mobility, how the plant moves around the mobile nutrients, NPK, magnesium, sodium, and chloride. Really get a better insight on how the plant is being able to take up and mobilize nutrients.
Fantastic. And obviously with your background in environmental, you guys are good at finding trace elements and small, hard to find molecules. So that's really a great start. Let's talk a little bit about what sap analysis, leaf sap analysis provides us that say traditional looks at our plant's nutrient status might not give us.
Sure. So traditional tissue testing is usually taken at the top of the plant, the youngest, most mature leaf. Sap analysis is the same. So usually taken on the same set of leaves for the newer mature leaf, but then sap analysis also completes its set by the oldest yet viable leaf. So when you're talking about tissue, you just have one leaf sample, and that is pulverized, then it's dehydrated, and it's ashed. So with that, you are getting the total nutrients that were available historically and now made up into the brick and mortar of the leaf that you're actually holding in your hand. That analysis is free nutrients. What's being taken up today and how are the plants moving it around?
Uh-huh. Really interesting. When you're advising growers on taking a look at this technology, in your opinion, does it replace other technologies? Does it complement them? How might a grower utilize the information?
Right. Tissue, if you want to look at it mathematically, you can have an X plus Y equals Z. Tissue is that Z. It's the end of the season, what has been taken up historically. But if you want to understand how the plant took up those nutrients and mobilized it and utilized it during the year, sap is the X and the Y. One of the big examples of that is total nitrogen. So total nitrogen can be made up of many, many different things, mainly ammonium and nitrate. And then we have amino acids and proteins. So your total nitrogen number can be great, but if it's made up of mainly uncomplex, unutilized nitrates, that's a false feel-good number.
Right.
Sap analysis can actually break down that total nitrogen for you and give you what we're starting to call nitrogen efficiency. How efficient mm-hmm. is your plant? So we can tell you how much of your total nitrogen is being complexed down into the nitrogen reductase pathway and what percentage is just being left out there as the nitrogen in ammonium and nitrogen in nitrate. So we're able to give those percentages. If you are a grower and you have low total N and high uncomplex nitrate, that's definitely something that you would want to understand.
Right. And just to take a look at it a little bit closer, is there a minimum complex nitrogen kind of number that we're looking for, or is it a ratio of the free to complex? Is it an ideal where it slides up and down based on the overall?
So when you're comparing the nitrogen in nitrate and the nitrogen in ammonium, you compare it to each sample's total nitrogen. So everyone's going to be different. But when you do the math, you really don't want to get any lower or higher than 30%. We would like your efficiency to be 70% nitrogen complex going down the nitrogen reductase pathway into amino acids and proteins, 30% or less sitting in nitrate or ammonium. If we can't measure the nitrate or the ammonium, that means one of two things. One, that your plants are completely complexing the type of nitrogen you're giving the plants as fertilizer. Or number two, the sample has unfortunately not been sampled correctly, has been exposed to heat, and the nitrate has volatilized.
Uh-huh.
Again, that was just a portion of their conversation. To listen to the full episode, visit vineyardteam.org. I do want to quickly remind you about our podcast called Farm City Newsday. You can download that wherever you download your other favorite podcasts at. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Right now, it's time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Ag officials from Nebraska and two other states have decided to invest more money into the ethanol-based fuel market in California. The Journal Star says the Nebraska Corn Board and corn checkoff groups in Missouri and Kansas will provide California with $1.25 million over the next 12 months to help increase the availability of gasoline with an 85% ethanol blend, commercially known as E85. Pearson Fuels will supply the fuel. California's largest E85 distributor, Pearson has almost 250 retail locations around the state. This is the Nebraska Corn Board's second investment in E85 in California. Earlier this year, the Nebraska organization provided two grants to Pearson to help pay for E85 gas pumps at two gas stations in the Los Angeles area. John Greer of the Nebraska Corn Board says, quote, "These stations are moving a tremendous volume of E85. One station alone will use about 50,000 bushels of corn in the form of ethanol. The investment is already proving worthwhile for our growers," unquote. California is the largest E85 market in the country and should reach 50 million gallons this year. Despite that, it has fewer E85 stations than either Iowa or Minnesota, which combined have less than one-fourth of California's population. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You are listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leal. Now for more local news, here's Brian German.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has issued a proposed rule in the Federal Register to amend the list of approved materials for organic production. Based on recommendations submitted at the conclusion of the National Organic Standards Board Sunset Review process, the USDA is proposing to amend the national list by removing multiple synthetic substances that are currently allowed in organic crop and livestock production. The proposal includes the removal of vitamin B1 for crop production, oxytocin and procaine for livestock production, and sucrose octanoate esters for both crop and livestock production. USDA is also proposing to amend the national list by removing several non-organic ingredients currently allowed in organic handling. Some of the ingredients proposed for removal include sweet potato starch, Turkish bay leaves, kelp, whey protein concentrate, algenic acid, and several types of colors, such as blueberry juice color and turmeric extract color. USDA has said it will receive comments on the proposed amendments and the expected time frame needed for organic operations to implement the proposed changes. The comment period will close on Monday, October 25th. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at AgNet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German AgNet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal AgNet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.